y'all ever see, any of y'all on social media, Instagram, whatever, you know when Cody's running and he shares those videos and has a little deal? Well, he jogged this morning a little bit, and I'm going to put this up before he actually puts it on Instagram. So y'all watch the screen. We've got a little video of his little deal this morning. Yeah. We had the sound on that. That thing is braying loud, and that's kind of what I think every time he starts running and talking. There you go. That's your pastor right there, just so you know. And y'all can definitely tell him I did it, and I don't care. So one of my favorite parts about coming to Anson is to hear him preach, and then the other favorite part about coming to Anson when I get to preach, because he ain't here, right? So, but y'all been going through the book of Galatians, right? Y'all been talking about some stuff. Last week, I know I listened on the way over this morning, and, you know, when he got in and he was talking about Abraham and talking about the promise to Abraham and those things that came along. And when Abraham was 75 years old, he was promised he was going to have a son. And at 75, I don't know how many 75-year-olds in the room. There's a few. Some of you look 75, but I know you're only about 50. But and hey, good news for some of y'all. The Cadillac burned down last night and all the memories are gone, okay? So a bunch of that junk went away, floated up in the atmosphere, okay? If you don't know what the Cadillac is, ask Brandon just a little bit later. He'll tell you. So, but anyway, he talked about, you know, last week that promises, the promise is coming true. And Abraham, he finally was 100 years old before he got to have the kid and those things come along. And I still think Cody's favorite part of the message was just the fact that at 75, you can still be trying. So we'll just kind of leave him with that. But I'm going to pick up where he left off. I'm going to pick up in where things get a little bit testy within this Galatians chapter 3. And so if you brought your Bibles, please read along with me. And if not, you can still keep up and roll along. There won't be anything on the screen. I've got it all right here. And, man, let's just pray before we get started, because this stuff's some stuff where you could get off track. You could go a lot of different ways. So, Father, we just come to you this morning. We just love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here. We thank you for this just anointed worship team that just got us pumped up, got us ready to go. But, Lord, as just as these words come out, make them be of me, not of me, but of you. Lord, just as these words that pop up on a screen during worship, let those be words, a word of declaration that we love you, we thank you, and we go. Father, I just ask that every heart in here this morning be prepared for a message that in times can get tough, at times can get tricky, a part of the word that can definitely be taken and used however we want it to use, but we know that's not in your will. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to start in about verse 15, or not about, we're going to start in verse 15. There's no doubt about it. But so I'm going to read and talk and then read and talk and then read and talk. A little bit more teaching type stuff this morning, but there'll be some preaching in it too, so it'll be good. Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations, even though it's only a man's covenant. Yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds condition to it." Right here, Paul uses a human illustration. He adds something in here that we can understand, right? How many are thankful for a word of God that we can understand, that we can read, that we can get, and it's not confusing? You see, God's covenant, it's pretty similar. Anybody ever bought a house? You had to sign a contract, right? Once you sign that contract, you're pretty much in, right? There's not going to change. A lot of things aren't going to come about it. When it's signed and confirmed, it's pretty tough to get something changed in a contract, right? Or it used to be. It used to be just a handshake. Now we have to have a contract and everything else. But so he's telling us right here. He's telling us in human terms. And he tells him, he starts out by saying in terms of human relations. He says, okay, now in verse 16 it says, "Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed." He does not say "and to seeds" and referring to many, but rather to one, "and to your seed." That is Christ. Okay, so Paul's trying to make it clear that this rather complicated. I mean, sometimes Paul writes some stuff that is, man, it's tough to understand sometimes. And it's complicated to explain this too. And this is where things get a little tricky for me, because I'm not the deepest, most philosophical, theological, any of that stuff. I'm just a guy that loves Jesus and likes to tell you about it. But the promises were made to two people, okay? This scripture, this word right here, when he says not to seeds, not to many, not to others, this was to Abraham and Jesus, right? So kind of makes us wonder why we're here. So if we were to read this, and we know Abraham is Kozry told us last week that that's the father of all this stuff, and everything goes from him and son of Abraham and those things as they go along. But then it says right here, if we were to just to read this, and this is something that I worry about, some stuff that I worry so much about, that when people pick up the word and they're not in the word, they're not thinking about the word. I mean, if you were just to read that right there and then break it down into another translation or however you want to, you would think, well, what's this got to do with me? It says right here, this is the deal between Jesus and Abraham. This is the deal between God and Abraham. This is the deal between God to Jesus. It doesn't say a word in there where it says anything about that's to me and you, Will, me and you, Billy. It just says right there. And then the emphasis is right there that there's no promises made to us if we read this, because this promise wasn't made specifically to you, me, or anybody in this room. But the promise was made to Abraham and his seed. What do we get out of that? Jesus is our only hope. Real clear. Real easy to make something as complicated as when you read that. I dare you to read verse 16 and make it make sense in your head. It's tough. But at the end of that, what do we got to get? That Jesus is our only hope. We'll go on. I'll read verses 17 and 18 here. It says, now he goes forward and he says, what I am saying is this, the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on promise. But God has granted it to Abraham by means of promise. That's about as clear as mud if you just read that, isn't it? Doc, you're a smart guy. Pretty easy to understand that sometimes. For me, for sure. I want us to think carefully about what he's saying. See, God made the promise to Abraham and his seed. It even came to Abraham through Christ that in the future Christ would fulfill his part of the covenant. The law didn't even come until 430 years later. It tells us that. And it says, once the promise is made to Abraham through Christ, the law, that it doesn't change. Just like when we signed that contract I talked about. Something coming along later doesn't change it. Only if the two people in the contract agree to cancel something can really be canceled, right? You sign a contract to go do something, so Joe Blow around the corner can't come in and just say, hey, that's not going to work, because it's between those two people, right? So think about this promise, this covenant between God to Abraham, Abraham to Jesus, the whole tying together of this. The best news is between Abraham and Jesus, they're not planning on breaking the contract. They're not going to change it. But if we read this and we think about the law, right? We think about what's in the law. Can it be read almost in there when you think that Paul is almost in danger of making the law seem as it's unimportant, like it has no place? So we pick up in verse 19 and he asks a question. What purpose does the law serve? Verse 19 and 20, it says, why the law then? I'm trying to keep myself from getting too preachy too early right here. But I think I will. So we've got the law of Moses, right? The law. That is originally how we were supposed to live, right? That was our only way out, right? That's our only chance to do anything. To be super spiritual, to be whatever. Cody went in depth about what you could do, and you could do all these things. He talked about doing the acts and all this, but we talk about the law. Why is it so important that Paul goes into the law and why we still have the law here, okay? Even though anybody in this room here bound to that law? Anybody in this room destined to hell because you broke the laws of Moses? Anybody in this room? No, not a single one of us, because Jesus comes. That promise. Then why do we need the law anymore? We can just go do what we want to do, right? We just go off and use grace and say we're forgiven, and we can ask for forgiveness. We can go to some worship rally, and at the end of it, we can raise our hand when they say, is anybody in here not know Christ? So many ways, right? But then why do we need the law? Why, when we drive from here to Abilene, is there a speed limit sign on the side of the road? Do we need to completely forget the law? We still got to have a barometer, don't we? We got to have something that gauges what we're supposed to do and not do, right? Because if anybody in this room was morally capable of following the law, would we have needed the other? No. See, I can look around this room, and I know some of the stories in the room. I know some of the places you've been. I know some of the things that have happened, and ain't even for me. It was a pretty easy morning getting up and leaving Ira and coming over here, and I'm pretty sure at some point in time, I can't come to the top of my head, but I broke the law of Moses somewhere in there. I guarantee you. I was feeding show bears, so I know for a fact I had some bad thoughts in there, but so why do we still need the law? To know that we can only drive 70, right? Between here and Abilene. Has anybody ever been late leaving Jones County or even farther south to get over there or coming north and drove more than 70? Any of you? So why do we need a law? Verse 19 and 20 says, why the law then? It says it was added because of transgressions. Having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. Now a mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. Many things are hard to understand for those who are unstable, unlearned. We can twist these things right into our own destruction. And I have no doubt this is one of those things that we could twist and we could do what we want with it right into our destruction. You see, Paul is saying here that the law is added because of transgressions. Things that had gotten to the point that God had to bring the law in to meet this unique situation, right? The people couldn't live to the law. Real easy. We can't do it. How many times in the Word does it tell us that we're going to fall short of the glory of God? We know we're going to lose our tempers. We know we're going to have thoughts. We know we're going to have these things. You see, I think back when we talk about this, and I'll get through this and transfer through it, but I think about a kid that I had on my golf team. He was from England, not a believer. Actually grew up kind of in a part of London there where if he would have been a proclaiming Christian, he'd probably got beat up every day in school, okay? Nobody went to church. Nobody did really anything around him. Kind of started hanging out around me a little bit, and most of you know if you hang around me very much at all, you're going to catch a little of that Jesus here and there. I'm not going to preach at you. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm just going to hope I can live and you can see it and we can get it done. But one day he came back from, I don't remember which break it was, but he come back and he was just off. And I'm telling you, this kid talked all the time. He was one of those that he had another question before he finished the answer to the first question because he was so right there, like he was just da-da-da-da-da. We came back and this kid was off. I mean, finally, I asked him, his golf game was off, his studying was off, and I said, dude, what's up? Man, what's wrong? He said, I'd rather not talk about it. I said, okay, if you need me, I'm right here. Well, as in his fashion, it wasn't about 2 seconds later, I started to walk off. He said, go ahead, we'll talk. Well, I knew his parents had been going through a divorce right before he came over to the States, and he said, you know, while I was at home, I found out why my parents were getting divorced. He said, I'm so mad at my dad right now that he's the one that kind of supports me the most in my golf, and so I'm struggling to do this because of the things he did to my mom. Well, instantly I go to thinking about, you know, the worst of the worst or whatever, and he just kept talking. I finally asked him, I said, Miles, what happened? And he said, well, my dad cheated on my mom, and I'm mad at him. It's bothering me. Miles isn't a Christian. His dad's not a Christian. His mom's not a Christian. Sister's not a Christian. Nobody in the family's a Christian. So I asked him. I said, Miles, why are you mad at your dad? He said, I just told you he cheated on my mom. I said, who says that's wrong? He said, well, you're not supposed to cheat on your spouse. I said, who says that? Is that a law in England? And he just looks at me. He's like, what do you mean? Everybody knows that's wrong. That's wrong. And I said, wrong to who? He stopped. I said, show me in the law where it says you're not supposed to do that. Show me in a rule where it says you're not supposed to do that. Well, see, here's the deal. He couldn't. Anybody in here know of a law somewhere written that says you're not supposed to do that? Other than in the Word of God. So do these laws that were put in back, the law of Moses, do they still affect the entire world, whether they're in the Word or not, or whether they're going to church, or whether they believe in Jesus? Absolutely they do. So then I didn't leave it right there. I went into farther and I said, look, here's where we've got to be. Here's where we've got to be on this, Miles. Your dad's not a Christian. Has he ever even read the Bible? And he said, no. I said, how much have you heard? He said, well, a couple times I've been to church with a few CGF things. It's a organization that goes to the college stuff and some preachers that come out and they share with these kids. But I said, so how do you know? I mean, you just know, you just heard, you've just been taught that you're not supposed to do that. So why are you mad? He said, well, everybody knows. And I said, okay, but everybody knows what? Well, we got to have that conversation to dig back right in where the only place that it's written, the only place that that came up is right there in the Word of God, right? You see what I'm saying here? If we don't have the law somewhere, even though we're not bound to it, we still got to know what's right. We still got to know what's wrong, right? I don't believe anybody's born with a moral compass that can help us keep us on the straight and narrow without being taught. So if we just live life as Christians, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's good, and we're going there, but we get to that place where we just think we can live and we can just go and not worry about the promise and not really worry about what Jesus did for those 3 years, right? He was here for 33 years, but 3 years in ministry, right? 3 years out going, 3 years out teaching. So many ways, Jesus is like the most interesting man in the world because he's born. Big deal, right? Next 30 years. Is there anything in here that talks about the next 30 years? Can you find it? Pops up when he goes to work, right? Started at a wedding. So when Jesus had to come, I want to read you Romans 2, 13 through 15. It says, for it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, at other times even defending them. See, basically, that's the story of the kid I just told you. Can we be mad at somebody for something we don't walk out and we don't believe? I would like to tell you that that story ended with that kid coming and we baptized him and we got him and he's on fire for the Lord, but he didn't step foot back with me in church one more time that year. I don't know where he's at in all this, but here's what I do know. Is that because of that and because of the law and the law of Moses and what's supposed to be the right and the wrong, the stuff that we failed at, I got to share with that kid where it came from. See, I think about these two sitting right here in the front row. And they both get nervous when I do that. But how hard is it for me to get mad at something I've never told them not to do? Because we're not born with this list of things in our head that we should or shouldn't do, are we? Does it have to be written down? Talk about the Ten Commandments, we do those things, but if you read in the Ten Commandments and we just take them specifically, it'd be pretty easy to twist that, wouldn't it? You see, the little one here is pretty good at twisting things when I say, hey, what are you doing there? Well, I wasn't doing that, I was doing this. You don't think that's the same thing? Well, no, because that's a different guy, and this is a different show, and this is a whatever it is, right? Are we all guilty of that? Are we all guilty of just looking at what's in the law, and or just are we even more guilty as things go ahead and things change? So there is the intent of the law. The intent of the law is there. The reason the law is there, okay? We failed, right? Miserably. None of us in this room did it, did we? A couple of you ain't older than I thought you were, but there's no way. I'm going to jump forward to Galatians 3:21. It says, is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be, for if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. It's not where our righteousness comes from, is it? See, we sit in this room and know that today. Just like the story I told you a while ago of the golfer. Even that kid knew some of the law. I could get in deeper about conversations I did get to have with that team because of this. College-age boys, 18 to 20, we know what's in their mind, what they're after, and what they're doing, right? I got to engage a little deeper with them and how important that is to abstain, how important it is to not go there. Kids that come to this country, just and they're from all over the world, and it's not just them, but they come in and they don't even know what's right or wrong. But one of them knew one rule. 22 to 25 says, but the Scripture has shut up everyone under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor. Y'all know what a tutor is, right? They help you out. They kind of teach you when you need it. It has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Again, can you see how easy that would be to twist to however you want it to think it is? The law is still there to guide us. The intent of the law. You see, God never made any mistakes, right? Not one. I've heard it said that if God was perfect, why didn't he just create Jesus to begin with and make this happen? Why did he give human beings that he knew would fail the chance to be perfect? Why didn't he just take the law? Why didn't he just set it out there and say, all right, here it is. Here's the laws. Here's the rules. Nobody's going to break any of them. We're just onward and upward. Everything's good. Because he gave us a chance. He gave the human race a chance. And it was the first two, right? Anybody know anybody before Adam and Eve? I don't. That's how long it made it, even though this is way after the Genesis. This is way after those things. But did God make a mistake by saying, hey, here's the laws? Here's 10 commandments. Here's what you do. Here's what you don't do. And if you do break the law, you're just bound to hell. You're thrown in the corner. You're done. You don't have a chance. He made the law because we still need something to go by, guys. We still got to know what's right and wrong. And if we try to even grow up a world based just solely on we can be redeemed through Christ, which is so true and my favorite part about life. But if you don't know what to be redeemed from, where are we at? We can all sit in here and raise our hand and say, we want to be with you, Jesus. We want to follow you. But if we don't repent, we don't fall on our knees, and we don't change some, we don't get rid of some of those things, what are we doing? It's nothing. I think about, as an example, anybody in here got kids that may or may not brush their teeth twice a day? Anybody got kids that have to be reminded? Don't look at your brother, you too, girl. We got teeth, right? They come in when we're little. They start coming in. I mean, we all remember those days. We were at Hyde Hill Country the last two or three days with my in-laws and the kids, and thank God mine are 13 and 9. That's all I'm going to say. Past some of that stage, but you remember every trick in the world to try to numb them gums when them teeth start coming in? Then we got to have the pain of trying to teach them to brush our teeth. I mean, I'll never forget my little brother. He told my mom one night, he said, I don't see what the point in brushing them is. Those are all going to fall out. I'll just brush the next set. Valid. I mean, but let me ask you this. If we ain't trying to brush on the first set, are we really going to honestly brush on the second set? Probably not. We get this redeemed opportunity. We get this second chance at life every single day that God lets us wake up. We do break the law. We're going to break the laws. We cannot live by the law and be saved. Salvation cannot come to us through the law because we're not good enough. What do we think? We think about the law. We think about the Ten Commandments. We think about those things, but what do they say? Don't kill, don't lie, don't commit adultery. Most of us just kind of think of the law of just being like, oh, well, I never cheated on my wife, never killed anybody. And today's not the message on that, but doesn't it say in the Word that if you even hate somebody, you killed them? If you have thoughts outside of your own head about some other woman, some other man, adultery, don't lie, don't whatever. It's impossible. Some of us, I mentioned those speed limit signs. Some of us live life just like when you see those speed limit signs. And I'm the guilty one right here. I'm talking to me. I can see a sign, and I still hit the brakes and think, oh, I can be driving the speed limit with the cruise on. See them black and whites, and I hit the brakes like, oh, I got to slow. Oh, I am actually going the speed limit. But how many of us are really going through life like that? How many of us are kind of using this grace? How many of us are using the opportunity to get away with something? How many are kind of going in, well, I didn't get caught doing that, so I'm just going to get in a little bit deeper. Conrad, y'all can start kind of coming. So let's get to the part here. Pick back up here in verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Y'all ready for 29? And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. All I can say is praise the Lord. Through faith, we can become one with Christ, and then we can claim the promise. We don't have to live under that tutor. We don't have to live under this constant reminder of the law. I'm going to tell you, you still need to know. You got to know where you're at. It's not like we live under a truant officer that says, hey, you're not in school today, you got to be here. We don't live under the whippings. We don't live under the pushing of what we need to do and what we don't need to do. But instead, we get to live with the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Our minds changing us into that image of God. I look back at my own life and I think about how awesome it is that God changed so many of the desires in my life. I'll sit here today and tell you I'm not perfect. Still get desires, still get some thoughts that don't need to be there. Justify them however we want to, but without the barometer, without that law, how would I really know how far? How far off track can we get before it's too far? There is no too far. There's always a going back. But what I can tell you and what I can encourage you today over here in Anson, Texas, a couple weeks ago, I preached at the steer show down in Belton, and man, I'm not going to lie to you, I've been struggling with some stuff as far as thoughts and as far as some friends that I've tried to mentor in and some things that I've gone so far that I honestly believe that these guys are out kind of teaching and preaching based on the law. I'm not going to tell you that they're Baptist or Church of Christ or Assembly of God or whatever, but I'm telling you that there's a group of people out there that still want to judge, they still want to preach, they still want to just hammer on you the law of Moses every single time we meet. And I'm not saying, like I told you earlier, we got to remember. We can't just throw them to the side and say, yeah, but we got Jesus. I'm thankful for Paul. I get to eat a pork chop every now and then, okay? Because in the law it says don't eat them. We get some bad show pigs. We need to eat them. But what if these people that are struggling, what if these people that are living in sin, that are aware of the law, still living in sin, what if all we do as a church is we go around and we just bash on them and say, you can't do that, you can't date him, you can't go with her, you can't listen to that, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're wrong, you're doing this, you're doing that. What are the chances they're coming in this door? It's somewhere around zero. Come on, man. Come as you are. Love on them. Nobody has to tell anybody in this room how jacked up the world is right now. Nobody has to tell anybody about the things that are going on, the things that we can go aside to, astray to. I was struggling with some friends that were publicly putting stuff out that was almost to the point of hell and brimfire and condemnation constantly, to the point where I'm like, who are you trying to win? And what are you trying to get them to? Because if we just go on and on and on and say, if you watch this show, then you can't be saved, or you can't do this, or question salvation, or whatever it is, what did Jesus do? Let me ask you about the woman at the well. Did he harsh on her? Did he bash on her? Did he tell her how bad she was? No, he brought up the law. Then he told her what? Go and sin no more. What about the lady they brought to him right there? They were about to stone. There was the law. What did Jesus say? He who's without sin, throw the first one, big boy. Okay, Bronk, well, those were sinners. What about the one everybody wants to use, the story about him turning the tables? When he walked in the temple and they were using it to sell stuff and they weren't using it for what it was there for. Got pretty harsh right there, didn't he? I don't know if it was an anger or what. I don't get to see his face. All I get to do is read the story, but I can tell you where that happened at. That was at church. That's the people that had come. You want to wonder why sometimes Sundays Cody gets hard on you, you leave here and you're like, that's some buck. Bronk comes over here and just gets on my toes and tells me this and that. Well, you know where I need to get it the most is at church. Even me right now as a preacher, a pastor, a guy that goes around and shares, hey, if I'm messing up out in the world, I probably don't need somebody coming and just getting on me right then. Probably need a little love. Every one of you have a friend right now that's living in some kind of sin out in the world that you're praying about getting to church. If you're not, I hope you start. But here's the deal. We got to go to them with love, compassion. You can't go in there whooping on them. Do I like the lifestyle one of my very good friends is leading right now? Absolutely not. Am I scared to death about his long-term well-being? Absolutely. But if I go to that guy just bashing on him, what are the chances? None. All I can do is that hope that he has gone to Christ. All I can hope is that he receives the salvation, because there ain't a person in this room that can save anybody else. We can all read the law, we can all interpret the law, and we can all do what we want to do. But if we're not acting in love, we're not caring for people, and we're not doing these things. And that's why I think one of the biggest warnings to church people comes very simply by the story of Jesus turning those tables over. He didn't go to the mall and do it. They're allowed to sell stuff at the mall. Anybody in the mall can set up any shop they want to set up, right? I'll never forget one little story right here, and then makes my point, and then we're going to close. Anybody ever accidentally or purposely went into Spencer's Gifts in the mall? You see, they used to sell Jerbos. For you young kids, those were cool pants, okay? Well, I went in there one day, and my mom was with me, and we were in Abilene, and I grew up in Sea City, and she was going to buy me a pair of Jerbos when we walked into this store. Well, past the jeans is some stuff that probably doesn't need to be in the store with your mama, okay? I'm just going to go that far. Spencer's Gifts and whatever. Well, I'll never forget. She left that place and she was so mad because that stuff was in that store in the mall. Anybody go to the mall to get saved when you're hurting? When you hung out too late Saturday night and you're feeling guilty, do you ever go to the mall? Well, some do, yeah. A little retail therapy, but really, if you want real help, is that where you're going? No. When you want that real help and you want to give that real help, you get them to church. You get them around somebody that's like-minded. The law's there as a reminder, the promise that Jesus Christ came to this earth so that each and every one of his sins can be forgiven if we go to him with repentance. makes it pretty simple, right? We can't just throw all of it out the window. It's there for a reason. God did not make a mistake. As we close this morning, I just encourage you to just, and I just encourage you to sit and listen. I encourage you to hear these words coming from the closing song. I encourage you to just close in prayer. We'll pray over you. But then you just close thinking about, what do I need to do? Where am I at? Man, am I pumping the brakes even though I'm going the speed limit when I see that highway patrol? Or am I really just flying 90 and I know the sign's there and I'm just thinking, oh, I'm going to be okay? See, we all need some correction. We all need a whipping. We all need a little something from time to time. Lord, we love you. We just thank you for this morning, Lord. I just pray that as we close and that this song comes across and that these words meant something. That it wasn't just my interpretation of these deals that affects and changes somebody, but that it's real. Lord, we know what you've set out before us. You know the rules you've given us. Above all, Lord, I just pray that we get in the right place to where we can start winning people for Christ, because we don't go around acting like we're better than somebody else because maybe we think we follow the law. Or even when we know we don't follow the law, that we think we're better than somebody else because we have Jesus and somebody else doesn't. But Father, give us the way to win others for Christ. Because it's all up to you to get it done. You put us on this earth to do your work. Be your hands and feet. Father, if there's anybody in this room this morning that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, Father, I just pray that it's today that their heart starts to tender and they realize that we can't live with just a law. We got to have you. We love you. We thank you. As we close this morning, I just ask you to just sit and think.